Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. It is December the 5th, year of our Lord 2023, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are welcome to come and join us each Sunday morning. Our service starts at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. We are in the sanctuary. You're cordially invited to come and join us each Sunday morning as we go to God in worship and in prayer. We thank God for all of you who are on the line, those of you who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. Well, we hope you have had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We took a break during the Thanksgiving week, and we're coming down to the last three Bible studies of the year. This is the first one of the three. Our Bible study will end on the 19th of this month. We will take a break after that. We'll come back in 2024. So we're glad that you are joining us for the last three Bible studies of our year. All of our Bible studies are archived. You can always go to our Facebook page, go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, and you can find all of the Bible studies that we have done this year. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find how to give to the house of God as well on that Facebook page. You'll also find the call-in number for the Bible study. That number, just in case you missed it, is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate and be a part of the Bible study. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the web link that you can go back and you can listen to all of the Bible studies that we have done this year. You can simply go to the Facebook page, and when you see Bible study, you see FBCHS Bible Study Power Hour, you'll see a blue link. You can click on that link, and it will take you directly to the Bible study that you want to hear. Now, we're going to be posting some of those Bible studies during our winter break. You can go to the Facebook page, and you'll find them. We're going to start probably in the next couple of weeks. We're going to start posting Bible studies that we did earlier this year, starting in the month of February, and we're going to work our way down to where we are now. So if you have missed any of the Bible studies, you would like to hear some of these Bible studies that we have had this year, you can do that by going to the Facebook page. We pray God's blessing upon you. We want to remind you that we do have a New Year revival that's coming up January the 4th and the 5th, 7 o'clock. Program starts each night at 7 o'clock. We'll give you more information about that next week, but we don't want to remind you. We want to remind you that New Year revival is coming January the 4th and January the 5th, and we want you to come and be a part of the revival at First Baptist. Our lesson tonight is a short one. It's a very well-known one. It's called Call Before Birth. Call Before Birth. We're coming out of the book of Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew's narrative boldly fits the genre of the birth announcement. All throughout the first part of Matthew, we read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's important that people know their genealogy, where you come from, and who were your parents, who were your parents' parents, who was your parents' parents' parents. All of that has to do with your physical and psychological makeup. Believe it or not, you carry some of the same traits of your grandmother and your great-grandmother and your great-grandfather. All of those bloodlines come together, and you are part of those people. So it's important that we understand the genealogy of our people. Now, there are several places that you can go. I think they have ancestry.com, and there's another one, I think I can't remember the name of that one, that you can go to, and it can give you your genealogy. I think they send you a package, and you send it back with a swab, and they use the DNA sample to break down your genealogy. But it's important that we all know where we came from. It's important that we understand who we are and what took place in our lives. Matthew's birth genealogy and narrative boldly fits the genre of the birth announcement seen in the Old Testament. But Jesus' birth was announced first in the Old Testament and other literature. Yet although it's usually referred to as a birth narrative, what Matthew narrates is the conception of Jesus, not the birth. Matthew states a matter of fact that Mary's pregnancy was from the Holy Spirit, but Joseph does not know this. It is highly likely that many ancient rulers would have mocked such a claim, but others would have been open to the possibility. Given Jesus' mighty works to include resurrection, many would have expected an unusual birth of such an amazing child. Moreover, the ancients, talking about the Jews as well as the pagans, accepted the workings of God in their everyday life. Many in that day also believed that a once barren woman giving birth was the work of divine power. If such thinking was true in the case of a barren but married woman, how much more so is it in the case of an unwed virgin? Mary's miraculous conception would have been understood very much in terms of the powerful working of God's Spirit, as seen in every conception, and especially seen in the example of the Old Testament in which elderly or otherwise barren women conceived. Mary's conception was top of them all, for her child is none other than Israel's long-awaited Messiah, God's Son himself. Now, you got to understand that throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the people were waiting for the Messiah. It wasn't like they did not expect a Messiah to come. They were waiting for a Messiah. They had been waiting for many, many centuries for the Messiah. And finally, when he came, there were those who rejected him and there were those who accepted him. And so our lesson tonight starts in Matthew 1 and 18. Matthew 1 and 18. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Matthew describes the birth of Jesus Christ by telling the unusual manner in which his mother Mary became pregnant before she and Joseph came together. Mary was found with child. Betrothal, according to Jewish customs of the time, was for all those who intended and purposely already be married, waiting to be consummated. The intended marriage was arranged by the parents, often while the prospective marriage's partners were quite young. So there were those who expected Mary to be married, but not necessarily to Joseph. The contract that usually binding and subsequently dealt with their consummation was seen in the same light as other marriages. And one who had sexual promiscuity before being married was considered to be sinful. Although betrothal had taken place, the marriage could only be deemed complete when the bride was brought to the house of her husband. In the case of Mary, she was betrothed but not yet taken to her future husband's house. She was found to be with child, and therefore apparent violation of the moral and legal obligations of the betrothal contract. Infidelity in the contract was seen as similar terms as infidelity in marriage, and similar penalties were laid down in the Bible. According to Mosaic law, in Leviticus 20, 10 and 21, prescribed that death penalty be for those who committed adultery, leaving the manner of execution open. Deuteronomy 22, 21 and 22 specified stoning for a woman who could not allow evidence of their being pregnant. In Deuteronomy 22, 23 through 27, prescribed that a woman who was unfaithful during betrothal should be brought to her father's house and stoned by the men of the city because of the disgrace she had brought upon her father's house. These laws do not seem to have been enforced in Jesus' time, and the injured party seems to have had the option of dealing with the matter privately. Joseph, who chose to deal with the pregnancy privately is described as being a just man, a devout Jew. The words just man describe one who does the will of God and so facilitate God's plan for the coming of his kingdom. Being a just man, he was aware of the requirements of the law. But in choosing the other option, he also showed the qualities of a pious Jew. Joseph sensed, though probably not fully, that God was at work in the pregnancy of his soon-to-be wife. Now, that's Matthew 18 and 19. Let's go to Matthew 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph considered divorcing Mary quite privately, but an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The appearance of the angel was the mark of the divinity, and the encounter of the angel that addressed Joseph with the exhortation not to fear to take Mary as his wife. This decision not to publicly expose her is affirmed by the angel in this dream. The angel tells Joseph not to divorce Mary, but to complete the marriage to her. What Joseph might well have suspected something supernatural in the conception of his child is confirmed by the messenger from heaven. He is directed to take Mary, his wife, and to treat the child as his own. Further, Joseph is told by an angel to bring Mary and the child into the house in line of David. Why is it so important for Joseph to obey the voice of the angel in this dream? Why was it so important? The messenger from God wants Joseph to know that God has already been at work to effect his redemptive purpose on this earth. He has made his claim upon Jesus even before he entered the world as a baby in Mary's arms. All who obey are also playing a part in God's purpose, and all who resist will find themselves on the wrong side of God's actions on behalf of mankind. In verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary as thy wife. This is what we want to understand here. The angel spoke to Joseph and told Joseph what was going on. Joseph, being a just man, was able to set aside his own pride and marry Mary. Now, this is something that we must understand, because today, I think that if that happened today, many people would not be able to understand what fully is going on here. See, the father, being Joseph here, has to set aside his own pride in order to do God's will. Verse 21 through verse 23, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, the angel further tells Joseph that this child is a boy and that his name must be Jesus. For he will save his people from his sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord saves and delivers his people in many ways. He gives food to the hungry. He heals the sick. He comforts the brokenhearted. Many also hope that the Messiah would save Israel from the Roman oppression. But the angel declared God's agenda. Jesus has not come to save his people merely from physical enemies. He has come to save his people from their sins. I think this is something that most people did not quite realize, particularly later on when you see him being tried. They thought that Jesus was coming to fight the Romans and to relieve them of the oppression of the Roman Empire. But no, Jesus came to save them from their sins. And this is something that they needed saving from more than being saved from Roman occupation. You see, sin is the root of all calamity. Let me say that again. Sin is the root of all calamities. While calamities come from many sources, accidents, disease, willful disobedience, the root cause of disorder is sin. And the greatest disorder is to be at odds with God. Jesus will save his people from all of their sins. The birth of Jesus not only begins the unfolding of God's salvation for mankind, but it also fulfills the scripture. The precise words are instructive. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The prophets in the instance is Isaiah. There were God's spoken words in the long ago by a prophet whose heart had been touched by God. The birth of Jesus also shows us that God is with us. God is always with us. We can never flee from his presence on land or on sea. We can ignore God, we can deny God, we can curse God, but we never go away. He never disappears. His rule and his reign extends over creation. God is omnipresent. One of the things that this lesson wants for us to remember is that the prophets of the Old Testament, they knew that something was going to happen. They knew that God was going to fulfill his promise that he made so many years ago, that there will come a Messiah who will come and save the people. And so when the lesson talks about the fact of the prophets, particularly Isaiah was one of those prophets who knew. He prophesied many years before the birth of Jesus, many years, almost 500 years before the birth of Jesus, that he was coming. And this is a great thing for us to understand, that God's program was put in place long before Jesus was born. In verse 24 and 25, then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When the angel had finished speaking, Joseph woke up, believed, and did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife. His submission to God was a powerful and complete, so that Mary, who also offered herself as a servant of the Lord, Joseph refused to give in to feelings of shame and feelings of anger. He laid aside his pride and his initial thoughts of divorcing Mary, but he took her as his wife. To take that supernatural conception of Jesus perfectly clear, Matthew says Joseph had no union with Mary until she gave birth. What a blessed testimony. It's a blessed testimony to a living faith. Mary and Joseph listened to God and refused to give heed to their emotions of fear and shame, because they were willing to listen to the voice of God, no matter what people thought or what people said. They show us how to listen, how to obey God rather than our own impulses. This portion of Matthew offers a picture of faith. For more than that, it is an account of the triune act of God. God the Father has broken into human history, and his plan for redemption has been initiated. The Spirit, as co-partner in God's eternal scheme of redemption, has fashioned life in the womb of Mary and moved the heart of Mary and Joseph to accept their role in this divine drama. We have been called to participate in the divine drama. In leading the way, Mary and Joseph have become our example. It is still God's divine right to call, and our responsibility to answer. Obedience is still better than sacrifice. Our heeding God's call and participating in God's promise are our challenges in modern day America. If you read the Bible, you will find that because Joseph was such an obeying a child of God, that nowhere do you read where Joseph suffered. Nowhere do you read that Joseph business suffered. Because he was willing to obey God, Joseph was a prosperous man. He went on to become one of the best carpenters of that area. His name rung out across the atmosphere, and people to this day look at Joseph as an example of faith. Matthew, recounting of the birth of Jesus, is intended to say to all that when necessary, God intervenes in human affairs. Let me say that again. Matthew's recount of the birth of Jesus is intended to say to all of us today that God does intervene in human affairs. Joseph was about to divorce Mary, but God sent that angel in a dream, in a vision, to tell him God's intentions for him and to give him orders. We could all wish that God would do so in our lives and guide us so that we can be in his will. However, God does not always use miraculous meanings to make his will known, not even in biblical times. We can never fully understand how Jesus can be fully human and fully divine. But this passage tells us that at least the meanings of such was accomplished. Jesus is our friend who understands our weakness and can sympathize with our plight. But at the same time, he is our sovereign Lord, the object of our worship. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is central in Matthew's gospel. He wants us to realize the Spirit presence in Jesus' birth and in our world as well. The Holy Spirit is still at work today. This is the age of the Spirit, the final stage in God's plan to prepare this world for the end time, when the eternal will be inaugurated. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings Jesus to birth in person, the one who makes Jesus alive in human life, and the one who makes Jesus historical and real. In Jesus' thought, the power of the Holy Spirit, God is present with his people in a whole new way. He was ordained of God and called by God to do his work. This is part of the lesson that we read today, that we must understand that there is a significance in the birth of Jesus Christ, not just the miraculous birth of Mary being born, Jesus being born to a virgin who was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. You see, in Matthew's story of the miraculous conception, Joseph becomes aware of the pregnancy before he learns the cause. His immediate response is that of a just man. He must divorce her, he thought. Joseph was yet to understand the movement of God in his family situation. God has preordained Joseph to play a vital role in coming to Jesus Christ, coming into the world. We must understand today that God is playing a vital role. He wants us to play a vital role in all that he's doing in our lives. By identifying Jesus as God with us, Matthew continues the theme that permeates throughout the whole Testament and the conception that God has for his people. When God gave the law to Israel in the desert, he stressed his continual intent. He said, "I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." You'll find that in Leviticus 26 and 12. The nation was called to a relationship in which they were to understand themselves to be God's people. The latter promise of a coming Davidic king was also intertwined with the promise that God himself would be with his people. There is considerable significance in the interpretation of Jesus' name as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God has come to be with us and to be with his people, to fulfill the deepest meaning of that covenant. Matthew not only gives attention to Jesus' genealogy, but also gives account of the miraculous conception and the infancy. Matthew attests to both human and divine natures of this remarkable conception of Jesus Christ. The child was a human lineage from the line of David, patriarch Abraham, He was a human, and he had a human name, Jesus, by which he identified with his people. A human birth. But the child also had a divine relationship with the Holy Spirit. A divine description, Emmanuel, which means God with us. A divine origin through the Holy Spirit in his conception by this virgin mother. Now, I want to deal with some of the things that we must understand about who this child is. First of all, the name Jesus or Yahweh saves. That's what it means. Jesus means Yahweh save or Jesus saves. Significantly, in the Old Testament figures have variations of that same name. Joshua, who led the people of Israel into the promised land, Hosea, the prophet, Joshua, who the high priest, instrumental in rebuilding the temple, all of them were considered as those who would save their people. Joseph sought to keep Mary's surprising pregnancy private, but did not want to expose her to a public shame. Ironically, Mary's son Jesus would publicly be shamed in his last days of his life. Isaiah the prophet gave the original Emmanuel prophecy after King Uzziah, Ahaz of Judea. You'll find that in Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. He said, a child would be born of a young woman as a sign that the political threats that Ahaz feared would soon be gone. Matthew saw the prophecy as having additional prophetic significance regarding the Messiah. The description of Joseph as a man who was righteous, just, faithful of the law, yet daring and showed mercy and theological importance of Matthew's gospel. Also, I want to also tell you about angels. Angels were the messengers sent by God. Whenever God wanted to speak to his people before, he would send an angel. He would dispatch an angel from heaven, a spiritual being that serves God and supports mankind. So when this angel comes, he comes first to Mary and pronounces that she has found favor with God. And then he goes to Joseph, the husband of Mary, the father of Jesus. According to Matthew, he was a Bethlehemite, a carpenter who later settled in Nazareth. But Luke's account has him journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to comply with the census edict. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the wife of Joseph, Mary lived in Nazareth, where she was engaged to Joseph, the carpenter. Before the consummation of their marriage, the angel Gabriel appeared to her first at her home with the message that she would bear a son and his name would be Jesus Christ. Then he appeared to Joseph to let Joseph know not to fear, not to be excited, not to put Mary in public eye, but to take her as his wife. As Joseph considered divorcing her, quietly, this angel appeared to him in a dream. You see, God does speak to us in our dreams. There are times when we are dreaming and God wants to speak to us and direct us into which way we should go. And many times we wake up from that dream and we don't do what the dream or what the angel or what God's information has given us. This appearance of the angel was the mark of his divine encounter with an angel. And God still has divine encounters with us today. We have to be open to receive the message that God gives us or tries to send us. It's so important for us to obey the voice of God today. It's important for us to obey the messages that God sends us so that we are in line with God and that we are part of the redemptive process in our lives and on this earth. You see, he made his claim upon Jesus even before he entered the world as a baby in Mary's arms. In other words, he wanted the world to know that this child that was coming from Mary was not just an ordinary child. And all of us who obey and play a part of God's purpose, we find ourselves being blessed by him. And those who reject God's words, who reject his messages, find themselves in various different calamities. we must understand today that when angels speak to us, and I'm going to tell you this, sometimes angels visit us unaware. God can send an angel by any means, not just in dreams. He can send an angel in persons. And many times we receive those angels and we don't do what they say do. But I come to tell you today that God has a purpose in your life. And the main purpose in his life is that you will fulfill what he has for you. And so many times in our lives, we do not listen to the voice of God. Matthew, recounting of the birth of Jesus, is intended to say that it's necessary, as I said before, God does intervene in human affairs. God does intervene in our lives, beloved. And God will continue to intervene in our lives. Are we open to the will of God? Are we open to do what God has called us to do? Are we open to the holy light that will come before, that will lead us and guide us? As we live on, we are exposed to more and more people who differ from us in race and culture and religious values. Is there hope for unity in such a world? By summoning the power of God in us, we can find the way to peace. So many wars are going on. So much killing is going on. Why? Because we have left the true meaning of our lives in Jesus Christ. God wants to expose us more and more to his understanding. Is there room for unity? Is there room for unity in our homes? Is there room for unity in our cities, in our streets, in our country? Sure, there's room for unity, but we must turn. We must be like Joseph. We must say, God, you know, whatever you ask us to do, we will do. Just like Mary did when God came to, when God sent Gabriel to speak to her about being conceived. You know, sometimes we ask too many questions. Sometimes we want to know when, how, and where. But when God speaks to us, he gives us clear direction. All we have to do is follow his directions, and we can find that life is a lot easier. Life is less stressful. Life has more blessings and more purity when we listen to him and do according to his will and according to his way. We need to pray and continue to pray that God will give us the understanding to open our hearts and to open our minds and to give us the faith that we need to move forward. You see, Joseph, as I said earlier, is a picture of faith. He did not listen to what others said. He did not listen to what his peers said. I'm sure there were men who told Joseph, if I were you, I wouldn't marry her. If I were you, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. You know, but Joseph understood that something bigger than him was going on. Something stronger than him was going on. And Joseph did not want to be out of the will of God. And he knew that being identified as being a child of God, that he would surely be blessed by doing what God had instructed him to do. This is our lesson for tonight. It simply tells us that we need to have faith, regardless of what it is that God has called us to do. Many times in this life, we lack our faith, particularly when trouble comes, and we seem to forget that we serve a God who's powerful. There is nothing too hard for the God that we serve. And even though God may ask us to do some things that we don't quite understand or agree with, we must have the faith to believe and the faith to go forward and the faith to know that God will provide for us. This lesson is called Call Before Birth. Beloved, we all have been called before birth. God knew us in our mother's womb. He knew your beginning and your end. He knew how you would be born and he knew how you would die. And if we are called before our birth, doesn't it seem reasonable that we should continue to listen to the call? Doesn't it seem reasonable that we should continue to obey the call that God has given us on our lives? Doesn't it seem reasonable that we should understand that God is in the midst of our lives and what we do and what we say, what we accomplish and what we don't accomplish? We must understand today that God is still at work with us. Just like he was back in those days with Mary and Joseph, that same God is at work with us today. I said Sunday, God may not never call you to birth his son, but he may call you to birth a idea that will help his people. He may never call you to sacrifice your son like he did Abraham to Isaac, but he may call you to sacrifice your time, your talent, and your resources. He may never call you like he called Noah to build an ark. He may call you to help build a church. God does call us. God does give us a call in our birth, in our lives, throughout our lives. We must be open to receive the call of God and to obey the call of God so that we can have a better understanding of what God wants us want for us in our lives. I'm going to open the lines. I only have a few callers on the line tonight, and some may want to add something to the lesson, or you may have something that you would like to say about the birth of Jesus Christ. But tonight, the lesson is called Call Before Birth from Matthew 1. I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to go to the first caller, area code 910, last four digits, 5088, trustee. I'm sorry, that's Deaconess Rainey. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Hello, how are you? Can you hear me?
I enjoyed the lesson tonight. I heard I was in and out, so I didn't hear the whole thing. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Uh-huh.
But you were listing some items. You listed three. I got the last one about Holy Spirit is present, still present now. And
uh-huh.
I missed one and two of that. I can't remember. I want to say you on verse 21. I might be wrong on that. I just wanted to hear the one and two. If
well,
not,
I
can just go back and listen to it.
What was that question again? Say the question again. Say the question again.
You listed three things, but I don't know. All I know, the last one was dealing with the Holy Spirit. You were saying the Holy Spirit is present. Was present then and still present now, but I missed the one and two of that group.
Okay, I think what I said was the Holy Spirit was one that brought Jesus' birth into a person. Also, the Holy Spirit gave him human life, and and he also made Jesus an historical figure. I think that's what you're talking about. Not only did he bring to fruition his birth, he also made him alive as a man walking the earth, and he also made him a historical figure that we still talk about today.
Oh, okay.
All that was by the work of the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm pretty sure it is. The last one was when you were talking about the Holy Spirit was present. I'm pretty sure it is. But I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Okay. All right.
See
well,
if
thank
I,
you.
And, uh-huh. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314, Trustee Mangum, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
How y'all doing?
Good
evening.
All right.
Good. I just have like one thing to say that the message of this Matthew, the chapter that we read tonight, that we can hear that Mary Joseph chosen by the Lord for this task.
Right.
And they certainly showed extraordinary faith in both following the Lord's plan.
Mm-hmm. 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 What about that Mosaic law that stated in Leviticus that if a woman in Leviticus 10. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Something went wrong just then. It went blank with my phone.
Okay.
Really? We couldn't hear what you were saying.
Okay. What about the Mosaic law that was written in Leviticus 20:10?
Mm-hmm.
When it's prescribed a penalty for a woman who was found pregnant before she got married was to be stoned to death. What do you think of that?
Well, I really don't think that the woman should be stoned together. I don't agree with that Mosaic law.
Okay. All right. But yeah, that was the law in the day. That was the law. Joseph did not comply to that law. He decided to take her as his wife. But the law stated that she was supposed to be stoned to death. But Joseph understood because of the fact that he had spoken to the angel. And the angel told him exactly what he was supposed to do. Let me go back to Deaconess Rain. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
This miraculous conception, do you believe that someone would believe that today?
I don't think everybody will believe it. Somebody may believe it today. You know, believers may believe it, but maybe non-believers, you know, they wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Would you believe it?
I would believe it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. If your girlfriend came to you and said, you know what, I'm pregnant. And you say, well, who's the father? Mm-hmm. She said, the Holy Ghost. You would believe that?
Well, it depends on who it was. It depends on who the friend was. But yeah, I would believe it.
Okay. All right. I understand. It would be hard for many people to believe that. It would really be hard for many people to believe that. But it is possible. If it happened before, it can happen again. Trustee Mangum, could you explain to me how Jesus is human and divine? How he's human and divine at the same time.
I think you asked that one time before.
Dignus Rainer, can you help out on that one?
Anyway, I think to come back to my remembrance is that in the Bible was teaching us that both, you know, human and divine, that not half man and half God, but fully man and fully God.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. He was fully man and fully God.
Mm-hmm. Because Jesus became a man, he didn't come any less God.
That's right.
Even when he died on the cross, you know.
And that's why they didn't accept him. That's why so many people could not accept him. They could not accept a man being God at the same time. And that confused them. It crossed their wives. They couldn't understand that. And they wouldn't yield to it. They wouldn't yield to it at all. They would have problems understanding that. And people would have problems understanding that today. Matter of fact, there are many people who claim that the triune God is not correct. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How can he be three things at one time, they say? And there are many non-believers who argue that point. That how can God be God, man, and Holy Ghost? How can he be all those things at one time? But we're not talking about any regular God. We're talking about a God who created everything out of nothing. A God who can create everything out of nothing can certainly be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And many people have a problem with that. In our humanity, in the history of this world, there has never been one like Jesus Christ. Do you believe that the time for his coming is coming near, is nearing? Either one of you can answer that question. Do you believe that the time of Jesus' second coming is near?
Reverend, I think so, because Book of Revelation, that we're seeing that, no, quite a few things being fulfilled.
Digging this, Rainer, what do you think?
I think it's on the way, because when you talk about the Book of Revelation, it was saying that you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, and you'll hear this and you'll hear that. And then they said, then it was something to the fact that that's just the beginning
right.
of the end of time, you know.
Right.
It's starting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
that's why
that's
why this season we celebrate Advent, because it is mm-hmm. not just about the birth of Christ, but the second coming of Christ as well. The fact that he came, went to the Father, and that he will come again. And this is why we understand the greatness of God and the power of God working in the world today. I pray that we will continue mm-hmm. to study and continue to give God the faith and the obedience that he has given, that people in the Bible gave to him. And we will continue to follow mm-hmm. him according to his will and according to his way. Either of you have another question? You're the only two I have online tonight.
Yes, Pastor, when you talked about Advent, I was looking at something this week. And at one point I was looking at something where it said four candles. And then I just want to ask you. And then I looked at another thing that said five candles, three purple
right.
and a pink, and then three purple, a pink, and a white.
Right.
Now, when we do it, we have how many? Four or five.
Five.
I can't remember.
We light one
five,
each Sunday, four Sundays leading up
uh-huh.
to the last one. And then the middle candle is not considered part of the four. The middle candle is Christ himself.
Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was reading on when I was doing a little research on Advent.
Right. Well, people
and that's what I came across.
People do it differently, particularly in different denominations: Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
They all do it differently, it is the four Sundays before coming into Christmas, and then of course that middle candle. Is not counted as part of the four. That middle candle stands
okay.
away, because that is Christ himself. Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The white candle.
Right. Uh-huh. The middle one. The white
mm-hmm.
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Christ himself. Our next lesson leading up to our last one is called The Response to the Holy Light. I'm going to talk about that light. I'm going to talk about that holy light, that last candle. The holy light, that
okay.
light that shines around the world. Okay. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Brother Rogers,
uh-huh.
is that for Bible study or that's for church service?
What's that?
Response to the holy light.
That's our next Bible study.
Okay, response to the holy light. Okay.
Right, response to the holy light. That'll be our next Bible study next week.
Okay.
Coming from... second chapter, Matthew 7 through 15, response to the holy light. We're going to be talking about the light that shined. We're going to start talking about that star that appeared. That was the first light, you know,
mm-hmm.
that appeared. And the wise men followed that light. How
mm-hmm.
we are to respond to the light. And as I said before,
mm-hmm.
The light of God, the light of Christ himself, which symbolized in the Advent candle in the middle, that light itself. Uh-huh. All right,
mm-hmm.
any other questions? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this lesson tonight. We thank you for what you plan in our lives for the foundation of this world. You have called us to play a part, and our part is a grand part of redemption of this world. He has called the church to spread the gospel to all nations, to teach people about the coming and saving grace of Jesus Christ. We ask now, God, that you will continue to bless us as we continue to follow you. Give us the strength and the courage to have faith, even in difficult times, that we know that we can never flee from your presence. Regardless of where we go, regardless of what we do, you are always there with us. Give us the comfort that we need in these trying times. to know that we can always call on your holy name and you will come to our rescue. Father, we thank you for the two that we had on the line tonight. We thank you for those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray now, God, that as we go forward, that you will bless the church. Continue to keep us in the hollow of your hand and give us the strength that we need to be the church that you would have us to be. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all tonight. Thank y'all for coming on. We got
okay.
two more to go.
Good night.
And we'll be all
right.
You.
Good night.
God bless you.
Okay.
God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Better.